Applying wisdom with discretion. As we finish out our afternoon sessions here today, we'd like to look at wisdom a little bit from a different angle and how do we put this to use. There's been a lot of definitions thrown around already between wisdom and knowledge and so on. I'll refer just briefly to it. There's a very big difference between these two terms. Knowledge is information overflow in our world. There's lots of it. I think you could probably go online 24/7 and never get to the end of what's knowledge at all there. Wisdom seems to be a different story. Men. How can we harness this knowledge that we have available for wise situations, for wise applications? Like I said, some definitions of wisdom are already thrown around, and I'm not going to repeat them. Wisdom, however, is more of a process of attainment, not necessarily an accomplishment, not a made. And definitely it is using knowledge to make the right choices at the right time. There are some foundations for wisdom, and that is, the Bible says, say, it is a fear of the Lord. So there needs to be a standard. There needs to be a measuring stick for whether something is considered wise or not. That is one's understanding and relationship with God. Wisdom, of course, is not just theoretical. It is intensely practical. It is not only what's in the brain, it's what's in the heart. Someone has said you can Google knowledge, but you can not Google wisdom. Knowledge is very often gained for personal advantage. Wisdom always has a blessing mentality. It's not just for what I can gain. It's for what we, others, can be benefited by. Applying wisdom with discretion. The word discretion is similar to wisdom. It's somewhat of a synonym of wisdom. Again, it's the ability to make responsible choices, decisions. Very often, in the book of Proverbs, where Solomon uses the word wisdom, he also uses the word discretion. It's linked together. And then, as our description in the brochure says, this calls for discernment. With today's technology, all this information that's there, all this knowledge that is there, we need to have discernment. Discernment is related to this. To be able to distinguish between right and wrong, between what's good and best. And very often, with senses other than just what we can obviously see. Be able to see and understand differences. To be able to distinguish so that we can make judgments and decisions. Someone has called discernment the jeweler's eye. I'm not a jeweler. I'm not a rock collector. Except with the stairs. But there are people that can look at two different rocks. They say, oh, no. This is this, and this is this. This is worth nothing. This is very valuable. Right? Why? Because of the experience the knowledge, the background that they have with these things, they can determine the true value. They can see the spurious from the true, the fake from the real, the flaws and imperfections that the average observer has no idea. The Jew's eye. And if ever we need Jewer's eyes, maybe not so much with rocks today, but with information in general, it is today. We need that kind of discernment. To be able to look at what's out there and to make the right decisions and the right choices. And your children and your young people, your students, more and more are going to have not just more knowledge thrown at them. They will, of them, discernment will be necessary because there's so much to choose from. How do we now choose what's right or what's best? The Bible says of Gazaliel, that he was a wise and able-hearted man. God had enabled him to be wise, not so much with things of theology and the doctrines and the laws of the Old Testament. What was his calling? To build the tabernacle and all the furniture and the tools and all that was good. He became wise, and that was used in very hands-on, practical skills. And yet, that whole tabernacle concept, everything was with it, was a tremendously powerful spiritual teaching tool. It wasn't done just to look beautiful. It taught a lot about who God was and how to relate to God. And that's why God said to Gazaliel, or to Moses, you tell Gazaliel that's different. You don't play around and just do it approximately. You do it the way you do. Gazaliel was wise. The children of Issachar were wise. They knew the signs of the time. They knew the times in which they were living and what to do. They could understand these things. Solomon, when he became king, he could have prayed and said, God, make me the most powerful king. Make me the smartest king. Make me the most popular king. The most well-known king. The richest king. But he asked God, he says, what I need is wisdom. I don't know how to guide and direct these people. I don't have this experience. I have no idea. This is something I need you. God. And God gave him that. What he asked for was all the other things he didn't ask. True, further down in his life, he didn't always use wisdom in how he handled many affairs. But it is spiritually, and the lives that he took, and the spiritual directions that took him, were not wise choices. He was known to be wise. Why do we have such a lack of wisdom and discernment today? I'd like to just give five reasons briefly. The first one is because there's a lack of discipline. Discernment requires discipline. Wisdom requires discipline. there needs to be a right and a wrong that goes along with also the second one that I have on number three there, the lack of antithesis. There need to be absolutes, and there need to be directions, and there need to be standards, and there need to be yes and no's, black and white, right and wrong. And if you don't have these things are all somewhat just merged and mushed together, so it's all just one fuzzy gray. Nobody knows what to do, when to do, how to do, because there's no answers. And you will not have wisdom. You look in the medical field, those that do research, or in the scientific field, those that do research, what is one extremely important requirement for research? Constant discipline. Constant in how things are done. You don't do research in disorderly ways. Because you're going to have disasters every time. The things that the inventions and a lot of the things that we have today have been there because there has been disciplined wisdom. They have taken the knowledge and they have put it to use. They have applied it in very structured, constant, disciplined patterns. Why? Because that's how God has made things. God's world operates that way. And if you don't, you basically come up with chaos. And as long as there's not as long as we're going to be in a world of relativisms, then we're going to have difficulty having wisdom. Another reason for a lack of wisdom and discernment is nobody is in charge. Each person is his own authority. Whether that's in social life, whether that's in business life, whether that's in many cases family life, in some cases church life. There's no authority who says this is how it will be done. These are the expectations. Because, well, we're all equal. Your decision is just as good as mine, and mine is just as good as anybody else's. Everybody's view is valid. What do you finally have when everybody does what's right in his own eyes? You've got anarchy. Now, true, authority can and has been abused many times. And maybe that is what has brought many people to the decisions that they have, where authority is minimized to what it is. But as long as there is an erroneous view of authority, or lack of authority, there will be no structure. There will not be the discipline, there will not be the wisdom. Lazy-eardness and immaturity are also causes for lack of wisdom and discernment. People just don't want to listen and heed anymore. Or they just don't see these things as valuable because they don't have the experience and maturity to understand what they need to do. And yet, the more information and the more stuff that is piled upon our world today, the greater our need of knowing how to use this, how to decide. We may think that we need a lot of wisdom. I don't want to be negative, but I think that your children and your grandchildren and your students in the future are going to need wisdom in ways that you and I hardly imagine. Just give you an example. To us, it's still pretty clear, the whole, for example, the whole gender situation. Okay? Will it be just as clear to the next generation? I hope so, when the society is wrong. It'll be very different than the generation of my grandparents. There were even people who lived vile lives, but they knew right and wrong when it came to some of these matters. And it's all mushy and fuzzy and everything else in society now already. I hope it doesn't affect us and our children and so on, but our children grow up in under somewhat, they will not totally escape that world where those type of things are present. And there's going to have to be absolutes and discernment. If we don't go there, we don't even start in that. The medical world. I have a number of our families in the medical world, and the medical ethics issues are getting more and more complex. When does life have value? When doesn't it? Supposedly. Those issues used to be rather common sense, but now sometimes both common and sense are not present anymore in how these things are decided. And it's not going to get easier. Why? It's because people have chosen to not be discerned, to not have absolutes, to do away with rights and wrong needs. Social needs, the use of technology. By the way, I'm not opposed to technology. I use it. But it is absolutely frightening when technology becomes a toy instead of a responsible tool. When technology is handled by people that have no idea, they may know how to use it, but they don't know the implications of it. Do you give your 6-year-old the keys to the car? I hope not. Does your 4-year-old have access to your shotgun? Please tell me because I'm leaving. To us, those things are pretty obvious, aren't they? True. I haven't seen anybody killed yet with a computer, a laptop, iPad, iPhone. But a lot of people have gone down a moral spiral fast. Does it mean that these things are wrong? Not necessarily. They are not rightly used. That's wrong. And it's taking a lot of wisdom, a lot of discernment on how. And our children are going to face this even more. Because these tools, these gadgets, these things are not leaving us. In fact, they're increasing with a rapid rate, the more. In fact, we're talking a whole new language already. That if my grandfather would come from the grave, he would wonder from which part of China we came. Because we're using terms that he would have never encountered in his life. He would have no idea what they are. Is this wrong? No. But it requires wisdom. It requires discernment. And that requires that there's a standard, and that requires that we understand procedures, principles, rights, wrongs, and how to do things. Where does math and science come in on that? A lot. Because math and science, especially, one of the keys of scientific concepts and mathematical concepts is constancy. True, in science you sometimes have deviations, weather patterns, things like that. But generally there are patterns. that are dependable, predictable. And teachers, I think that that's some of the beauty that we can instill in our students of science and math. The godly design, the biblical patterns, the predictability of things. And yet the godly wonder of how these things work. It's not human, it's divine. Our children are going to need discernment in areas of business, in moralities, in relationships, in environmental issues, and all these things. These things are heaping up on us. It's a challenge. We will need to know how to be wise. What do we need for a person to be discerning and wise? A person needs to know. A person cannot really become wise if he knows nothing. Wisdom is usually not born out of a vacuum. You need to know something in order to be able to apply it and do it right. Okay. And so there is a need of knowledge. There is a need of the right knowledge. There isn't a need of all knowledge. There is a need of right knowledge, dependable information. And then there needs to be this desire and capacity for discernment on how to apply this knowledge correctly so that we will be wise. You may be able to get knowledge out of a book. But teachers, you know when you get wisdom? On your knees. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's where wisdom is obtained. We don't get wisdom in the school or classroom. Yes, I hope that your students are going to see you applying wisdom and discernment. And as they observe that's going to make impressions in their hearts. But wisdom that a person actually takes internalizes and becomes part of him or herself. That happens as we search God. Because he is the source of wisdom. He is wise. It's from him that we get. Along with desire for wisdom and knowledge and discernment, well, not knowledge, but wisdom and discernment, we need to be committed to absolutes, the absolutes of God's Word. And that we stand on this is unmovable, this is unshakable, this is truth. And that we make sure that we're going God's way. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. They're not the ways of man. To go man's ways is not to go the right way. Must go God's way. Wisdom is following after. And that's going to take effort, that's going to take time. I find it interesting that the Bible says that Solomon was wise. Where did he actually become wise? Did God just all of a sudden, when Solomon prayed and God says, okay, I'm going to give you wisdom, here it is, dump. If that's the case, I want to go to God and get it that way too. But I think that it's not that he didn't get any of it that way. But I think a lot of wisdom was as Solomon knew about situations and applied discernment, he applied
knowledge correctly.
Yes, I do believe that Solomon probably was a pretty bright young man when he went to school. I think he was. But that's not when he became wise. He became wise as he sought God. And that's going to take effort, it's going to take time for us to become wise and discerning. It's going to take that same for our students to become that. And it's going to take, there's something about discernment and wisdom that calls for carefulness. Because it calls for judgment. Calls for caution. We need that. We could go on and look at steps to discernment. I'm not going to go there. There's nine of them there. We could spend a lot of time on that too. But teachers, parents, you might be able to give report cards to your children that indicate how much knowledge they have. Because they've read books and done tests. Wisdom is attained by a different manner. In a different manner. They will get that by watching you follow God.